Proverbs 13:20. Proverbs 13:20. Proverbs 13:20. If you'll know anything about the Proverbs, you will know they were written by Solomon. Solomon is also known as the wisest man in the Bible. And I know some of you out there this morning say, you'll say, no, Jesus is the wisest. You're right. But there was one man known for wisdom, and his name was Solomon. And Solomon wrote the Proverbs, and he wrote them, and in Proverbs 13:20, he wrote this: He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. In other words, he said, if you show me your friends, I'll show you your future. He said, if you walk with wise men, you'll be wise. So what he's talking about is, let's look at our friends and see who we really are going to be, who we want to be. If you got wisdom, and wisdom begins with the understanding and the fear of the Lord. Amen. So I started studying this out, and I'm thinking, and I've got a great dad who was in ministry, and guess what? Solomon had a great dad who was a king. David was a source of knowledge. When Solomon said, God, give me wisdom to lead your people, I guarantee you there were some times that he went back to a conversation or conversations where he talked to his dad. And his dad would probably tell him, son, it's good for you to have at least three kinds of friends. Three friends. That's the title of this morning's message is, you got to have these three friends. Amen? These three friends. And if you don't have them, don't worry. We'll hang out to the end of the message. Amen? We'll get you them three friends. You all right? Because some of you this morning when I'm preaching, you're going to go, I ain't got them. Don't worry. We're going to hook you up at the end of the service with these three friends. Amen? First of all, David would tell him, he said, show me your friends, I'll show that. He said, you need a kingmaker. You need a kingmaker. David had a friend named Samuel in his life. Samuel's a kingmaker. He came to David early on when the first king, amen, was going to be taken down, Saul, and they needed another king. So he told Samuel, he said, I need you to go out and I need you to anoint me another king, and I need to go out and you need to go to Jesse's house. And he went to Jesse's house and he had eight sons. He had every one of his sons from the oldest and the biggest all the way down to the youngest and smallest standing before Samuel. And you know the story better than I do. He had one son that was missing. The smallest, the ruddiest, the one that was the most, I'm not even thinking that'll be him. I'll just let him tend the sheep today because we're doing king's business. Samuel said, I've looked and God's looked and I like the outside of the man, but God likes the inside. I would have chosen Caleb. He's bigger, taller, faster, smarter, and he's like the other king that I chose. But that ain't him. He said, hey, have you got any more sons? Have you got any more sons? I got one more. Well, y'all stay standing until he gets here. Because if you've got one more and these seven ain't it, then guess what? The king's coming. The king's coming. So stay, everybody stay standing up because your king's coming. And they're all waiting for David, and David comes into the room looking like sheep, smelling like sheep. Golly, y'all. Hey, just take a deep breath this morning. You're in church, but it's all right. Y'all look uptight this morning. Calm, just relax. He came in the room. Can you see him? He's got his sling and a few stones. And if he's like any other teenager, come on. What do you want, Dad? What's going on? I mean, I was doing what you told me to do. I was out there with the sheep. What's going on? And what all my brothers standing and look at me mad for? Right? Because if you have any brothers in here or sisters, if the youngest one's getting promoted, you know how the youngins is. You know how they are. God, any babies in here, the baby of the family? We're special, ain't we? We are. If you're the middle child or the oldest child, I apologize. You're like miniature parents. Amen? Had all that responsibility. And that golden child come along and got away with everything you didn't get to do. Mama, can I go with my friends? No, absolutely not. Get to work. Get in there. Hey, Mom, can I go with my friends? Yeah, you need some money? Oh, honey, have a good time. Right? Some of y'all need to say amen more about them baby kids. Amen? Well, guess what? Here comes David. Once again, seems like God, not only does Mom and Dad favor David, but guess what? God's got a little favor on him too. And here he comes walking in. What's going on? Smelling like shepherd, looking like a shepherd, talking like a shepherd, singing like a shepherd, fighting like a shepherd, comes in, what can I do? And guess what? Samuel says, you know what? You're the next king of Israel. I brought a horn of oil to anoint you the next king of Israel. And listen, we got anointing all wrong. We think a little dab will do you, right? Put a little dot on your forehead. No. Pop the cork and pour it out until it runs down your hair, down your beard. And yeah, beard, I said it. Until it runs down into your clothes and people can smell it for months on end. Amen? To let you know that the king's been anointed. Somebody's been anointed. We do everything. We do everything a little dab will do you in the church. A little prayer, a little blessing, a little song, a little preaching, a little bit. We don't need a little bit of nothing. We need a whole lot of Jesus. Amen? But David standing there, could you imagine? I just want y'all to get this. This ain't first world. This ain't first world stuff. He's standing there smelling like a shepherd. So in other words, he smells like sheep. And God's covering him with the sweetest smelling odor. And he's sitting there going, you're a king. And David's saying, I just can't see it. I mean, I just can't see me being a king. I just can't see me being important. I can't see it. I'm the youngest. I'm the most insignificant. Matter of fact, when they was going to choose people, they left me out. But somebody, see, Samuel was a friend that you need in your life who sees the greatness in you when you don't see it. Somebody, you need to tune in. I know some of you have a problem with this. Some of you don't. Some of you have a hard time hearing good things about you. I'm preaching this to you. Amen? I'm preaching this directly to you because sometimes you can see God blessing everybody else and God touching everybody else and God using everybody else, but you can't see God using you. You need somebody in your life who speaks life into you. You need a friend who will come tell you and say, you know what? You're not as much, you're not a pain, you're not trouble, you're a child of God. Amen? You're more than a conqueror. You're blessed and highly favored. God chose you out of all the people he could have chose. My God, you're special. You're special to God and you're special to me. I want to know, some of us as friends, we need to learn how to bless other people instead of always blessing ourselves. We need to see, we need to look at some people and see the future of them. Listen, we got kids coming up who are listening to the world, and they need somebody from the house of God who will say, I see a preacher in you. I see a missionary in you. I see a singer in you. I see somebody who will love God. That's who I see. I see the devil's after you so much because he must see something about you that nobody else can see. We keep wondering, oh, the devil's wearing him out. The devil's using him. The devil's getting on him. Well, maybe the devil's getting on them so much is because God's got a big calling on their life. Why don't you shut up about the devil and talk about God for a minute? While the devil's raging in their ear, why don't you get in the other ear and say, bless God, you're going to be more than a conqueror. You might have failed a whole lot. But God ain't done with you yet. Every once in a while, some of y'all need to stick your right hand out and hold it out there for a minute. Take your left hand and put it on that little throbbing vein right there and say, hey, I'm still alive. So God ain't done with me yet. So if you're feeling that pulse, God ain't done with you yet. You might have failed this whole week. But I'm here to tell you, let me be a friend to you. God wants to use you more than you can ever imagine. Some of y'all need a friend who will see the greatness in you. You need a kingmaker. Do you have one? Do you got somebody in your life that's a kingmaker or a queenmaker? Do you have somebody that sees the greatness in you when nobody else does? Ain't that a benefit? Is it a benefit? Some of y'all need to run out of church this morning and call somebody. Not now. Or text them. Not now. And just say, thank you for seeing in me what I couldn't see. Because I got a couple in my life who spoke into my life before I could ever see it. I remember going into churches and somebody would come up and say, you're going to be a mighty preacher. I'm like, I'm a pretty mighty sinner right now. I said, look, I'm a mighty big sinner right now. I don't know if God can use me as a mighty big preacher. Oh, but he will. They could see it before I seen it. Amen? You need a sacrificial friend. Got any of them, sacrificial friend, who will lay down their life to promote yours? See, he had Jonathan. See, Jonathan was Saul's son. Okay, if you don't know anything, Saul was the king. So if something happens to Saul, guess who's going to be king? His oldest son, Jonathan. So what Jonathan did, he said, I see God in you more than I see God in me being the next king. So I'm going to give you my kingship, and I'm going to promote you as king. I'm going to lift you up instead of lifting me up. I'm going to be the kind of friend that when somebody tries to bless me, I'm going to bless you. When I see somebody trying to tear you down, I'm going to build you up. When somebody's shooting arrows at you, I'm going to take my armor off, my God, and I'm going to put my armor on you. And when my daddy's about to kill you, I'm going to run 30 miles. I'm going to go a great distance just to check on you and tell you that you're in trouble, and I'm going to tell you where to go and what to do. And when I go back, I'm going to stand in your place and tell them, if you're in trouble with him, you're in trouble with me. I'm a sacrificial friend. I'm somebody who will stand in the place of my friend even if it costs me everything. I will lay down my life for you. Do you have some lay down life people in your life? Do you have some people who promote you, who support you and love you more than they love yourself? Boy, if you do, hold on to them. Amen? Hold on to them. I hate to take, can I go ahead? Can I? Yes, I can, because I'm the preacher. I'm going to go ahead and say this. Sometimes as life goes on, some of you young people need to hear this. If you're about 13 years old or 14 or 15 or 16 or 17 or 18 or 19 or 20, okay, yeah, if you're in that group, yeah, I said 20, it's all right. Who's sitting on skin? Right, sometimes in life, When you first starting out, especially when you're a teenager and young person, you have a list of friends that over here you got these are my friends. And over here you got a list and it says these are my enemies. When you get about 21, 22 years old or maybe about 30, I'm sorry, it's the way I roll. A lot of times God will switch the titles. The people you had a label on that was your friend is really your enemy because they never check you. They never sacrifice for you. They never build you up or nothing. So, but guess what? That person that you got as an enemy, let me guess. Let me see if I'm right on in the target here. If you're anywhere from 13 to 20 years old, that person's probably either called your mother or your father. And you got them up here on the enemy list, and they're number one enemy and number two enemy. Amen? You're going to wake up someday. If you make it, amen, into your mid-20s and 30s, and all of a sudden you're going to realize your greatest friend was the person you thought was your greatest enemy because they loved you enough, amen? Because guess what? They promoted you. They seen when you were in that. Listen, when you were a kindergartner and you were doing your ABCs and 1-2-3s, oh, come on, you mamas in here. Y'all are hurting me right now. Remember when you said your kid was a genius? 6 months, already 1-2-3s? Right? My kids, ABCs, all day long, was eating the soup, put them right in order. Genius. Hello. You never seen nothing like that. Right? Promoted you to genius even before you ever went to school. Right? Sacrificed for you. Some of y'all need to forget about where you're at now, but guess what? If I can guess, hey, some mamas and daddies who stayed up 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning with ice or a cold rag on your forehead, vapor rub on your chest, praying in the Holy Ghost for God to touch and heal your body and waiting for you to get well and for they slept and rest, and you're worried if they got your best interest at heart. They love you more than they love their lives. Y'all came to the wrong service this morning. You need a friend who's willing to lay down their life for you. And if you got one, you need to call them and text them and run. And they're sitting next to you, just nudge them and say, thank you. Thank you for loving me when I was unlovable. Thank you for sacrificing when you didn't need to sacrifice. And some of you knuckleheaded teenagers in here and 20-year-old need to grab your mama by the end of this day and say, thank you for loving me when I was unlovable. Thank you. And if you got a daddy who will tell you straight, you know how daddies are. Sometimes we'll be oblivious. Amen. Oh, come on, wives. Again. Daddies can be oblivious, but we're like lions. Amen. Y'all don't believe me. We eat, we sleep, and we watch some TV, amen? And we're oblivious to all the other stuff that's going on. Until, y'all bear with me. I'm going to preach a while. Until mama comes to him and says, listen, there's trouble in the pride land. That was good. That was good, wasn't it? And you know kids hate it when mamas finally come to the end of themselves and they have to go stir father, amen? Hey, Mufasa, I'm sorry. But there's trouble in the pride land. The kids will not listen. So I'm tired of the threatening. I'm tired of saying we're about to. I'm tired of the back talk. And you know how daddies are. We go from oblivious to beat down. Just show me the kid and how much destruction do you want? Shock and awe? Or leave them laying. Amen? And by this time, mom's like, I don't really care. I'm just going in there in a bathtub and you do whatever you got to do. Amen? That's how men are. Hey, but guess what? I forgot where I was going with that thought. I done thought. Let's get back to that sacrificial friend. Amen? They laid their life down for you. You better always remember your mother and your father are the people who've sacrificed the most for you. So don't forget to every once in a while go, I know I'm a pain. I know I'm stubborn. I know I'm bucking the rules. But I also understand you're the ones that care the most. Do you need to have a friend? This is friend number two, sacrificial friend. somebody that will give their life for your life, promote you more than you've ever been promoted. I hope you have these two friends in your life. Don't worry if you don't. We'll find you one before you leave here this morning. A wounding friend. Oh, we don't. This is probably going to be the most deficient area in the whole room because we're living in 2019. He had another friend who was a wounding friend. His name's Nathan. Nathan came down when David had done something terribly wrong and he was ruining his whole life. He had took another man's wife, Uriah's wife, and went into her, and then he killed Uriah, and he tried to pass off this whole thing, and he lied and he manipulated and he done a bunch of stuff and he thought he got away with it. Amen? But he had a friend. Oh God. He had a wounding friend. Most of us in this room don't have a wounding friend because we can't handle any criticism. Amen? But this is probably the friend you need the most. Nathan seen David and said, he's a mighty big man. He could destroy me. And well, let's not go that far with this. He could destroy me. He could ruin me. He could end me. Amen? In our case, what would happen in 2019, they won't call me. They won't talk to me. They won't come back. They'll defriend me on social media. They'll block me on Instagram. Oh. Y'all good? I'm just not going to talk to them anymore. And if some of y'all are old school, like if you're me, if you're 45 and above, that puts me in there. You just say stuff like, I ain't going to talk to them no more. You're X'd out. Right? That's what you do. You X people out when you're 45. I just ain't going to talk to them no more. Because you know what? Nathan looked at David and said, you know what? He walked up to him. He said, you know what? Hey, there was this man. He had one sheep. He had this one little old sheep. He loved that sheep. And he took care of that sheep. And he loved it. And you know what? There's another man who had thousands and thousands and thousands of sheep. More sheep than he could ever imagine. See what he's doing? He's getting on the side of the brain that David had as far as love and compassion because he still had that. And he goes, he did? Yeah, I got you. He said, that one man that had that one little sheep, his little ewe sheep got away. And that man that had all them sheep took that one. Hey, man. He's like, we did. Why would he do that? I don't know. He took it and he slew that sheep. That was his. And he goes, what? I mean, he was mad. He goes, whoever this guy is, we're going to destroy that guy. And Nathan goes, that guy's you. He melted right in front of him. What do you mean? He said, you took Uriah. You took Bathsheba, amen, from Uriah, and you destroyed him. And you know what it's doing? It's destroying you. It's destroying your wife. It's destroying your kids. It's destroying your family. It's destroying your job. It's destroying everything about you. And I, as your wounding friend, cannot stand here and watch you ruin your whole life. I'd rather you hate me and me tell you the truth about what's going on in your life than for me to tell you everything's all right. The wounds of a friend are better than the kisses of an enemy. That's what the Bible says. The wounds of a friend. If you got a bunch of people in your life saying, no, you're all right, keep smoking. You're all right, keep drinking. You're all right, keep using drugs. You're all right, they don't know nothing, keep sleeping around. I know I said it. I wish there was more churches that were vehemently mad and upset about homosexuality if they were about people sleeping with somebody they're not married to. Well, preacher, I liked you before you said stuff like that. Well, I don't want you to like me. Amen? If a preacher's being liked all the time, then we're not doing our jobs. Amen? We'll preach about politics and how bad the world's going, but we rarely ever get into our own sin. If some of you in this room wanted to be a breakthrough with God, God to speak to you, God to send you, God to use you, stop living in sin outside the four walls of this church and then come and try to get in here and have God bless a mess. He won't do it. Right now, I'm being a wounding friend for you. Amen? A wounding friend tells you that I'd rather you be mad at me, leave me and reject me than you love me because I'm going to tell you good stuff about you. Nathan says, David, I'm tired of seeing you ruin your life. I want you to turn your life around. A wounding friend, in most cases, is not a welcome friend. Man, you need to leave. You're just carrying bad news. No, I'm just caring about you the right way. I told you this. I told you about these three friends. Does everybody have those three friends? Because if you do, we can just go on home. All right, good. I don't see anybody saying I got them. Does anybody want these three friends? Yes. I do too. Everybody run over with me, John chapter 15. Everybody in here is going to leave here with those three friends. John 15, 16. I hear pages turn. I'm going to give you time because this is important. Y'all ready? John 15, 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whosoever shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Here is your kingmaker. Jesus said, I called you. When? While you were yet an enemy, you had a friend who was a kingmaker. His name's Jesus. What he sees in you is before you ever thought about loving Jesus, he was thinking about loving you. He says, I called you. Listen, nobody ever gets saved because they're ready. They get saved because Jesus calls and sends and draws. So God sees in you first what you don't see in yourself. He is a kingmaker. So if you don't have that kingmaker friend, guess what? There's going to be an altar call for you. Come up here and say, God, be my kingmaker. See in me what I don't see in myself. Make me who you would have me to be. And you say, well, I need that friend too. But how can you give me this other friend? Let's look at John 15, 15. Same book, same place. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servants know not what the Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Wait, what is a, this is the sacrificial friend? The person who took off their armor and put it on you? Taking off their kingship and putting it on you? Right? Well, Jesus took off his righteousness where we can put on righteousness. He is a friend who died on a cross where you can be covered in his righteousness. You can be who he was, should have been the only heir to the kingdom. But now he makes us kings and queens in Christ Jesus. We are brothers to Christ through his sacrifice. I told you about that one time when Jonathan got upset and they say he walked over 30 miles to see David to see if he was all right. Well, guess what Jesus did? He stepped out of heaven and came a long way. Amen? And guess what? Not only does he come a long way from heaven to earth to die for our sins, God has this amazing ability to seek you out your whole life to save you. Some of y'all are sitting here going, you can't prove that. You can't prove Jesus is seeking me out, walking to find me where I'm at, where he could sacrifice for me. I hate to tell you this, but you're here. I don't care what you're here for. I don't care how you thought you came here today. The reason you came here is Jesus saying, I want to be your kingmaker, and I want to be your sacrificial friend. Amen? That's why you're here. That's why you're sitting in these seats, is because God says, if you're lacking in these friends, I can be them. I can be every one of them to you. But do we need a wounding friend? Oh, yeah. Romans 6:23. This is my favorite verse in the book of Romans, because I can understand it the most. This one verse I can understand more than any other verse in the whole Bible. You know why? Because I've been working since I was about 14 years old. 14 years old, I went to work, and I've been earning a paycheck about my since then, some way or another. Amen. Some of y'all tonight, so I don't know about now. Y'all get that later. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. I can understand that theologically better than anything else. That is a wounding friend. God stands in front of you, and I'm standing in front of you this morning for God to tell you this. If you, for the wages of sin is death. If you are a sinner, and you are, and you've never been saved, there is a paycheck waiting for you. Listen, I worked most of my life. Most of them were 40-hour-a-week jobs. Most of them were Monday through Friday. And guess what? Monday was the beginning of the work week. Friday was payday. On Friday, we went to the office to get what? We don't have your paycheck. Will you come back next week? Nope. Amen? No pay, no work. Amen? Y'all know. Oh, gosh. Especially, never mind. You first start working, you want that payday. Amen? And that's what you keep coming back for. For the wages of sin is death. God says every sin you've ever committed, if you've lied, if you committed adultery, taken God's name in vain, stole anything, that should have covered everybody in here. Amen? Gotcha. You're gotten. Right now, every one of y'all are guilty. And if you're guilty of any part of the law, you're guilty of all the law. So guess what? Everybody in this room, unless you're saved, has got a payday waiting for them. And that payday is death and separation from God into eternity. And I could understand that man theologically. I got that. I said, oh my gosh, I got a paycheck waiting for me. One that I didn't want to have. And that's one you don't want to show up and say, oh, I'll take that check. But you absolutely earned it. You've absolutely earned it. But that's not the end of the verse, thank God. Are you all right? Listen to this right here. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He goes, listen. He goes, your payday, golly bum, that check that you've earned, I cashed it. I cashed it at Calvary. I cast your check at Calvary. It's paid in full. If you accept the gift of me taking the check, if you say, no, I'll take my check, you'll have to pay for it. But guess what? That's the gift. That's the gift. See, the gift showed up and paid your penalty. That way, when you come to get your check and you're born again because you put your trust and faith in Jesus Christ, you have eternal life through Him. So guess what? He wounded you to let you know you're a sinner, and without Him, you'd be separated for eternity to let you know there is a way out of it, which is the gift of God, which is eternal life. What He's saying is, I'll wound you and let you know if you die in your condition, lost, you'll have to take the whole payday. But if you'll take what I did at Calvary and believe in me, you'll never pay for it. You'll walk through the shadow of death. And guess what? You'll come out on the other side into a place called heaven because of what I've done. Guys, I don't know if I can break it down any simpler to you or not. Whose name is on the paycheck that you've earned? Is it yours? Or is it Christ? Are you still walking through this life about to receive a payday that you don't have to receive? Let's all stand as they start playing a song. Listen, everybody in here needed that message. Every single person in this room needed that message. I'm going to ask you right now, if you've never, ever, ever accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I would ask you to do two things. I'd ask you, as soon as they start playing, that you step out and you come up here and you do one thing. You say, God, forgive me of my sins and be the Lord of my life. And take that payday that's coming to me away from me. And I don't care if there's five people in your row. Just say, get out of the way. Get out of the way. I'm going to get that free gift. This message was not just for a couple of people in this room. There's people all throughout this sanctuary who need Jesus this morning.